Hello, this is Angelique, and you're listening to We're Booked Up, a segment of the Gaston Speaks podcast wherein Kendall, Andrew, and I discuss books. For this episode, we'll be discussing A Wizard of Earthsea, a fantasy classic by Ursula K. Le Guin. There will be spoilers, so come back after you've read the book if you want to avoid them. But first, what have we been reading or watching?
Okay. First, I feel like I should also say there will be Harry Potter spoilers rampantly. Okay. And then I can go. So I have watched Dune, the first one.
Dune.
Sometimes I stutter.
Dune.
It made it fancy.
I like it.
I watched Dune, but the first one, not the second one.
Gotcha.
And then it was good.
No, it's good.
I really liked it. Marcus was like, I don't think you'll like it because you don't like high fantasy, which is true. I have a hard time with it, but it was good.
They kept it very, there wasn't a lot of dialogue in it, and they kept it very visual driven. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so out there that it did make sense.
Correct.
Unlike some things.
Uh-huh. And I actually watched the Eras Tour on Disney Plus. I'm not a Swiftie, but, you know, her music is so darn catchy right now, and she's just everywhere. It's kind of hard not to. But I thought it was good. It was fun. I think if I were there in person, I would have had fun. For 3 hours, that's a long time, though.
We're also old.
I know. I think I need to exercise in order to go to an Eras concert. But I won't be spending that money on that.
Yeah.
What was the other thing I watched? Oh, Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, God. Was it good?
No.
Okay.
But I fell in love a little bit with John Cena. He's so funny.
He is funny.
He's really committed to that role. And I was never a very big John Cena fan, but I think that role just made me a John Cena fan.
Nice.
Da-dun.
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 I'm now da-dun.
Sorry, I don't know. That was like a dad mom joke. Anyway, Angelique, what have you been reading or watching? Let's pivot here.
Oh, and The Maid. I'm also reading The Maid. FYI, sorry.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
It's good so far.
My turn now?
Yes, of course.
What have I been reading or watching? I read this book. I was going to read something, but I never got to it. I have like three like graphic novels out that I want to read, but I haven't gotten to them. What did I watch?
Have you been watching any fun videos?
I've been watching, I told you about this. It's like that podcast, The Basement Yard. I keep seeing like clips of them on TikTok, and they came up on YouTube, and I watched like all the way through. They're funny, very funny, but very dumb. So that's enjoyable.
She watched Ricky Stenicki, so I think we're good.
Are you calling me funny but dumb? All I heard was you called me funny.
You are funny.
Thank you.
Also, I found out today that one of the YouTube channels I watch regularly is creating its own streaming service. So that kind of sucks. I don't want to buy a streaming service.
Yeah. It's becoming cable. Like, yeah, we might as well just go back to cable.
It's really frustrating.
Yeah, honestly. I mean,
I started watching car crash videos again.
Oh, Jesus.
I've been watching carpet cleaning videos, so it's
what is wrong with you people?
It is so soothing.
It is.
You need to.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
It's very
too much. Okay.
Yeah. It's good for the anxiety.
Okay. I have something else. We'll leave it up to the readers. You want to not
Andrew folded his hands in prayer.
So I am going to start The Maid for Monday's book club, probably Sunday. But I heard it's a fast read, so I think I'll be able to barrel through it.
You'll breeze through it. I still am not convinced it's your kind of book, but you'll breeze through it.
I don't know what my kind of book is at this point.
That's fair. I feel like at some point in the podcast, I want to read a book that you're like, yes, let's read this book.
I know, but I don't know what that is.
I need you to find it. We work in a library.
I'm sure I can. We did read for last month. I think, I don't know if I talked about it last one. We read The Art Thief. It's a nonfiction book. It's about an actual art thief that was in like the 80s and 90s in Germany. It was really good. Our book club liked it. He like hid all the stuff with his girlfriend in like the attic above, like in a house. I mean, like billions of dollars worth of art. And like he went through all how he stole all of them and all this kind of stuff. It was interesting.
That would interest me. There was a book a long time ago, and I'm trying to remember what it was about, but it was like the man who stole all the books, and it was about a guy who would go around to rare books, like shops and like festivals and stuff, and he would just steal like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of classic books, and he wouldn't do anything with them other than hoard them. And there was like an FBI agent, it might not have been FBI, but no, I think it was, like, hunting him. And it was a really interesting book, and I wish I could remember what it's called.
I like this one because it was short. Like, it didn't, you know, some of those nonfiction, like 400 pages. It's like 250 pages. It was pretty quick. I like that. And then what I've been watching something called Mary and George on Stars. It's Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine. Is that how?
Galitzine.
That's it. I never pronounced that correctly. It's pretty good. And then I started Ripley on Netflix with Andrew Scott from Fleabag and other things. You would recognize him if you heard or saw him.
Andrew Scott. Was he in Sherlock?
Yeah, he was the bad guy in Sherlock. Yeah. He overacted in that.
Yeah. He's a good actor, though.
He's a good actor, though. He won an Emmy, I think, for Fleabag. He played the hot priest.
Yeah.
And then he was in a movie. I just blanked on the name of it, with Paul Mescal last year.
All of Us Strangers.
Yeah, the Andrew Hay film. And it was really, really good, too. It was sad, but it was really good. So anyway, yeah, it's black and white cinematography, and it got really good reviews. Now I watched about 40 minutes, and then I went to bed because I'm old. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's nice. There's actually been a rash. Like, there's a new one coming out called Under the Bridge, I think, and it's got Lily Gladstone, who, you know, got her Oscar nod this year for Killers of the Flower Moon. There's Ripley. There's a bunch of, like, miniseries that are all coming out because Emmy voting's kind of in the thick of it right now, the last push. And there's a lot of cool things, and I really am digging the limited series because they're just, it's easier to, you don't have, like, five seasons to catch up with. So.
Yeah, and seasons are, like, shorter, but there's, like, longer between them now, so I forget what happened on the last season.
It seems like they're shortening them, but then the episodes are getting longer.
Yeah.
So I have, like, 90-minute episodes. I'm like, why don't you just have a couple extra episodes and make it, you know, anyway, I don't understand all that, but
I miss, like, filler episodes where it was just character-driven.
Oh, like a good bottle episode? Yeah. Those were always so funny.
Yeah.
Like, Community did bottle episodes perfectly.
Well, it's funny. I remember when you really started to see a lot of those, like, 6-8 episode seasons. Mm-hmm. And it was still, the broadcast was still pretty, like, so The Good Wife was on. And Game of Thrones would do, like, 10 episodes. People were like, oh, that's so much better. I'm like, something like The Good Wife was still doing 22, 24 episodes. And every episode was on fire. Just depended on how you wrote it and how, you know, they plotted out the story. So, anyway.
Yeah.
It's impressive when you can do that many episodes in a season.
That's what I thought. I'm like, when you only have 10, you can concentrate. There's no fluff, you know. Good Wife was able to make it, and some of those are able to make it longer, something like an Abbott Elementary versus an 8 episodes of an, you know, to sustain that over a whole broadcast season is pretty impressive. But anyway, no one asked my opinion.
We did. We literally asked your
opinion. Oh, that's right. You did. Okay. Until you're shaking your head.
Okay. Are we ready to continue with the book?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I will read the synopsis and then we will rate it. All right. Once again, we read A Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula K. Le Guin. Ged was the greatest sorcerer in all Earthsea, but he was once called Sparrowhawk, a reckless youth hungry for power and knowledge, who tampered with long-held secrets and loosed a terrible shadow upon the world. This is the tale of his testing, how he mastered the mighty words of power, tamed an ancient dragon, and crossed death's threshold to restore the balance. With millions of copies sold worldwide, Ursula K. Le Guin's Earthsea Cycle has earned a treasured place on the shelves of fantasy lovers everywhere, alongside the works of such beloved authors as J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. Oh, there's like a quote from Neil Gaiman. The magic of Earthsea is primal. The lessons of Earthsea remain as potent, as wise, and as necessary as anyone could dream. So he was one of the dudes who did Good Omens, for those who don't know, which we read last year. All right, ratings.
2 stars.
Okay. So mine was 2 stars, and then I read the afterword.
All right, so you both said 2 stars?
Yeah.
Well, I upped mine to 2.5 stars after reading the afterword.
Okay.
Yeah, it too. There are parts that, yeah, too. We'll go there.
Okay.
We always do that, and then we start talking, and then we don't. Yeah, anyway, so just 2.
I'm gonna go up or down. Yes. Like,
so I was more like a 3.25 maybe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I'm more of a fantasy genre person in the first place, I would
Is
imagine.
This the first time you've rated the book the highest?
Probably.
Probably. I don't know. Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe Good Omens. I don't know.
No, I gave a Good Omens, I think, a really solid. Oh, wait, no. I mean, Murderbot.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, probably yeah. Murderbot. But we all still, that one was fresh.
That was in the beginning.
Well, also, yeah. too, that was one where you might have had the highest, but we all had high scores because we all thought it was great.
Yeah. That was a good book.
It really was. So it wasn't like it was kind of like we are now.
I told y'all there's a show coming out.
Oh, I knew there's a show coming out, and I am so excited.
Murderbot?
Yeah.
You did, yeah.
It has Alexander Skarsgård in it.
Oh, yeah. He's good. He's good. Yeah.
They've cast a few other people, too, but I forget what their names are.
That series is circulating, by the way. I've shelved a few books.
Yeah, no, it's popular. Yeah, the new one came out recently, didn't it?
Yes. System Collapse came out in, like, November last year.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Nice.
Good. All right, back to the book we're reading, or we read. So 3.25 for me, or between 3 and a 3.25. Any more comments on the rating choices, or can we move? We want
to
move on to the
questions. Let's move to the questions, because I think Andrew has a good point. Like, we'll get launched into the conversation, and then...
Yeah.
And then we're always like, what was the question? We already answered that. You know, whatever it is, so...
Okay. What did you think of Ged / Sparrowhawk, and what do you think of his character growth?
I didn't like him.
Okay.
I thought he was boring. He was just Harry Potter, which I guess Harry Potter is just Ged, and I didn't like Harry Potter very much either. I don't know. What I appreciate about the book is the plot line and the story arcs, mm-hmm. and I appreciate the character arc that he did make, but I also didn't, it could have been better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Andrew?
Yeah, this was like... Okay, so I agree that there was a lot of creativity. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mindset to come up with all these words. there's so many words.
Yeah.
But this reading this was like eating stale Melba toast. Like, it was so dry to me. I was so bored. Yeah. And so therefore none of the because of that, then, and even some of the characters that might have been interesting, everything moved so quickly. You would think, as dry as it was, also they moved on from characters so quickly that it's like. Yeah. Even the ones you're like, oh, that might have been an interesting one. Oh, we're gone. We've left the island of, you know, Enoch, and we're moving on to something else. Sorry.
Yeah. So there wasn't a whole lot of character development, which is what my favorite is. Like in House of the Cerulean Sea, tons mm-hmm. of character mm-hmm. development, not a whole lot of plot. This is the opposite of that. There's a lot of plot, which I can see in a movie being very interesting. So I could see myself maybe being more interested in Ged and seeing his growth and arc. But also, he ends the story still at 19, mm-hmm. and they're talking about how he's the greatest wizard.
Mm-hmm, I feel like this is his first in a series, so.
Yeah, that is true. And that's the other thing. Like, maybe it's all developed later in the series. So I can also see, especially since it's so plot-driven, after finishing the complete series, being like, oh, I love it! And, you know, I could see being one of those people who's like, has the map on my wall as a poster of all of the, like, islands and stuff. If I were to read the rest of the series, but since it was Melba Toast, I'm not gonna.
No offense to the producers of Melba Toast.
It has its purpose, as does this book. And also, I mean, it was pretty original during its time, yes?
Yeah.
So I
will say, you're right, it's Harry Potter. So what I will say is there are probably a lot of people who have since then have used a lot of what mm-hmm. Ursula Le Guin created in their own way. So, like, again, it's not a slight towards her. It's not a slight towards the world building. It was a drag for me.
It was the writing style. If the writing style and the characterization had been a little bit better, I would have been more into it. So, like, an example would be, like, in the very beginning when the mist is, he's creating the mist, like, she talks about it almost in the past tense, even when it's actively happening. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then he made the mist. And then they were running. And then he looked down and there were two slain, I don't know, invaders. I can't remember all of the names of all of the islands and all the kinds of people and stuff. It felt like a little bit more told rather than shown. And I would have appreciated it being shown more.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also appreciate it because after reading the afterword, I found out she wrote this for teens.
Yeah.
So she might have been simplifying a lot.
Teens in the 60s, right? This book is written in the 60s.
Yes.
It's different. 1968. So the evolution of fantasy and sci-fi novels has a lot has happened
yes.
since then. And again, she's probably the one who put stuff like this out there. And I mean, think about all the world building fantasies, Wheel of Time, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones that come after. There probably a lot of those authors pull from
Ursula Lord of the Rings was before it.
But yeah. Oh, that's right. That's yeah. right. That's right.
But still, given it's very simple, and that's what I'm struggling with, but it was also made for teens in the 60s. So I can appreciate why she chose to write the way she did, or maybe that's just how she writes without having read other
Have you
stuff.
Read
I don't know.
Any of the other ones?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay.
Have you read anything else by her?
No. I think I read this several years ago when I was maybe in middle school or high school, but I didn't remember it very well. But I mean, I like it. I mean, I disagree with you that there wasn't like a lot of character growth. I think the entire book was character growth.
For Ged.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Because he's following him.
He definitely started in one way and he ended in another. So mm-hmm. he started like really wanting to be a show off and getting the accolades, and he really wanted to best everyone and making enemies out of everyone. And then he ended being very quiet and humble and, you know, really taking the time to care for, like, when he would go to a village and he would always do like little spells and stuff to help those who helped him.
Yeah.
So you're right. There was character growth. It just, I guess, because I couldn't empathize with it,
mm-hmm.
I struggled with it.
I also, well, no, we'll ask another question. I'm sure there's a question that this will answer. I don't want to do it. No, we do this all the time.
He's reading my questions upside down. What did you think of the way the book was written, like the style?
Okay, no. Okay.
Go, Andrew, go.
Half the time, I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. It was like the wind sharks of the runes of the old world that began the language of the blah, blah, blah. What is all of that? Is there some book that tells me, like, I need like a dictionary or something to tell me what is? I mean, I was trying to find one of those things, one of those lines, and I really couldn't, but it was like, even the mage wind could not have sailed clear to the Kargad Islands. The islet must be out of reach east of Gaunt, but still west of... I don't know what any of these things are. I don't know these people. I know there's like a map, but I didn't like study it. I don't know. It was just too much.
I needed a preface, I think, that mm-hmm. maybe addressed some of this. Maybe so I'm asking them to dumb it down for me, which is kind of funny, but I'm like, because it's not my genre. But like, you know how in Lord of the Rings, they'll even have the beginning where like there's the voiceover and you see the ring and it's like, there were nine, what was it, nine? I can't remember the Lord of the Rings lore, and I should be careful. Maybe I'll switch to something else. Black Panther. Beginning of Black Panther when they're talking about how vibranium got into Wakanda and there's
right.
like, the shadow animations and things like that. I mm-hmm. needed like two or three pages to explain, because he would jump from archipelago.
Archipelago.
Thank you, go. It's Dadoon. to like the E with the accent over it and the letter A. I didn't know if that
Aya?
Was like, I didn't know if Aya. That was like a land or a period of time. This is just me out of genre floundering.
Well, it's
a little
like
bit.
The woman that ended up being the one from the beginning, and they were trying to whatever. And it was like she introduced herself, and she's like, "I am the granddaughter of the great somethings of the blah blah hoopa da blah 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 blah." And I'm like,
Oh, are you talking about the girl who tricked him? The Os.
Yeah, and then
oh,
she comes back.
Well,
even like when he wakes up, like after the spirit mm-hmm. thing, and he's in the castle and all that, mm-hmm. and she introduced herself. I was trying to find it in here. It's literally a whole paragraph of names of things. I have no clue what any of them are. And I assume it's one of those things that if you continue to read Earthsea, like you explore these different lands and then mm-hmm. it all starts to make sense. But out of context, I'm just like, I think for some fantasy readers, they just take it as face value, and eventually they'll learn. Okay, but I'm sitting here going, "What does this mean? What is the archipelago of the Ea of the Ninantuktuk?" And I no idea what any of this means.
I'm so with you, Andrew. But Angelique, I can see it. So for me, I'm reading this, and I'm like, "Oh, I feel like it reads like a D&D kind of guidebook where you're supposed to kind of create the world, and it gets developed as you go on your adventure." And I struggle with that. Go ahead.
So I think it reads more like a Greek myth.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
Yeah, and like she's assuming this audience, not like, not the author, actual author, but like the narrator of the story who's barely separate from Ursula, who's part of that world, is assuming that the readers of this, of Ged's story, or the listeners of Ged's story, know all these other levels of mm-hmm. like islands and people and civilizations. And she doesn't need to explain them. And there's not really, you don't really need for me, you don't really need to explain who these other people are, because it's kind of implied that they're great, like, mythical people anyways, in some way. Like, they're the gods of, like, Greek myth in a way.
Okay. Like, I can accept that. I also know that I struggled with it.
I did too. Sometimes, like if I was too tired, I had no idea what was going on.
There was a lot of me skipping, especially like towards the end when he's just sailing in the boat, going from place to place, and he's just naming islands
and
people.
It's like Ged's little Odyssey, basically.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing is
I loved the Odyssey. Yeah.
Well, you had the background to the Odyssey, though.
That's true. I just think for me...
But I didn't have it when I had read the Iliad, and I just, like, read the Iliad.
Well, did you read it? You didn't read it in school?
I read the Iliad in school.
You had your teacher walking you through it?
I guess that's fair.
But here's the thing, is that some of the Enoch, whatever, ended up being important. What? It was like a completely different language. But then some of it ended up...
a lot of place names that kind of get mixed up in your head.
And then some of them ended up not being important. And then some he circled back to, and I was like, okay, I don't remember. But this was the one because I didn't know what it was that I didn't. And so it just... some of it they never mentioned again. It was a one-off thing, mm-hmm. and then that was it. And then some of it did circle back. I got mentioned again, but I had already forgotten it because I didn't know if it was a one-off, and I didn't know what it was to begin with. And it was very confusing, and it made me sad.
I can definitely believe that those things will be referenced and mentioned in future books.
Yeah, I'm not doing that, though. Okay.
Then don't.
I just, this if this was the beginning, it didn't hook me enough to want to know more about it.
That's understandable. Like, I understand why y'all don't like it. I get it.
I understand why other people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess I'm more set up for, like, fantasy world building because...
So I read the first three Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I actually enjoyed them. They were 800 pages, so it did explain everything. In inordinate detail. But the point was is that then I could picture it. So then when I went to the series and watched it, I pictured it. Mm-hmm. And I knew what they were talking about. And there's a lot of characters and a lot of worlds and a lot of things there, too. But it was drawn out enough. I'm not saying I wanted to read more of this, okay? but then there's the point of, but then those connectors seem to be missing. And also be like 3 years of time would pass, and it's just the next paragraph. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of hard, too, where like nothing stayed on anything long enough for me to care enough about what was going on at that time.
I would have been okay if this 215-page book was closer to 300 pages, mm-hmm. if it filled in a little bit more of the meat. And I understand that she wrote it for teens in the 60s, so it's not written for me, and that's fine. But I personally would have enjoyed the experience more if, like, I had a little bit more of the meat. Like, I wanted to know... Okay, so like this scene where he is a child and he's been tricked by the other girl to go and summon the spirit. And there's the little bit of the shadow starting to grow. And Ogeon, how do you say his name? Ogeon?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Ogeon for the remainder of the podcast. Came in and like dispelled him with a great light. It did say in the book a horror came over him. But I think I was looking for a little bit more of like... how he was physically and emotionally feeling in that moment, other than he was horror struck, but it was like, I don't know, I guess I was looking for him to notice that his fingers weren't moving or felt a chill up his spine or something to that effect to then make him realize like I'm stuck and there's something coming for me and like sitting in it. And I think that could have been accomplished with two or three sentences. I'm not looking for massive amounts, but I think that would have helped me a little more. It was a little too simple in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
like you said, it was all plot.
Mm-hmm. The plot was fun. I think the plot was fun. I mean, watching it, I mean, come on, it's like you see, like it's like Waterworld.
Who wants to rewatch Waterworld?
I love that movie when I was younger. By the way,
see,
it's awful.
It's fun. It's adventurous. And I do really appreciate that it wasn't a fantasy book about war.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was...
that is true.
It was a beautiful commentary about how there's other things in the world that are hard, and often they're things that we create ourselves, and being able to accept the things that we have created, both good and bad, and that is where, you know, your true mastery of life comes. I appreciate that message. I think that that was solid.
Yeah.
Very coming of age, you're right. It wasn't the 1800 allegory of World War I or World War II, like so many fantasy series are.
And the plot made sense, and the end made sense to me.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I guessed it pretty, like, but it also made sense. I would have been really upset if it had been different.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Was there a moment or a quote or a passage that you liked or disliked? What was something that you liked about the book?
I have quotes that I liked.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Me too.
I do not.
That's okay.
But I mean, is I liked the little one-off with the guy who was like a ship in the fishing village.
Petrari?
Yeah. And he healed the son. And that friendship was kind of cool. Yeah. I liked Vetch.
Yeah. I liked Vetch a lot.
Vetch was neat.
Hoeg was the creature.
Well, I didn't know if it was like a true name thing. Like his name is Ged, but also Sparrowhawk. Okay, so I liked the Otek.
I did like the little Otek.
Yeah, I was very sad.
I cried. Yeah. I mean, not really, but like on the inside I did because it was a Hedwig moment. Like,
yeah.
He was my favorite character, the little fox.
And again, another beautiful message about how Ged kept trying to isolate himself, and it was the creatures and people that kept him coming back and kept his humanity.
Yeah.
So, okay. I like that. So, Ogeon, in the very beginning, he said, to hear, one must be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wish I could say that to my kids. I said, Ogeon really liked it quiet. If he spoke so little, Ged forgot what words sounded like. And so when Ogeon spoke, it actually sounded like he invented speech. First of all, I would die of boredom if I were Ged. And also, I said I would die of boredom, kind of like reading this book.
Dang.
Okay, that was supposed to be anyway. So, and then the other one was, for I had forgotten how much light there is in the world till you gave it back to me. On page 178, the old man who, like, he helped, like,
he healed his cataracts.
Yes, he healed his cataracts after they, like, worked on a boat or assembled a boat for one of his, like, journeys. But I think that's beautiful. Like, I'd forgotten how much light there is in the world. Yep, those are my quotes.
Okay, what did I have? So I always like to find something a little bit funny. So when he's going to the school, like, he's left Ogeon and he's arrived at Roke. And he's trying to find the way to the school. And then the first person he asks says, the wise don't need to ask, the fool asks in vain. I thought that was kind of hilarious. And I wrote a note that says, going to use this anytime someone asks me for directions. Because I don't know.
I did think, I was wondering if that was like something that the wizard, the archmage or whatever, had cast on the town. That if anyone were to ask where the school was, they would only be answered in riddles. Because the next person he asked also gave him a riddle.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway.
It's part of the protection. Gotcha.
So I kind of liked, even though he was more kind of an antagonist, I liked Jasper because sometimes he would say things that were pretty, like, pointed at Ged. What was that one?
He was the nicest villain.
Yeah,
because he was just a
rival.
He was a rival. Yeah. He was the Draco Malfoy of the story.
But that's the thing is that was so underdeveloped to me, and he didn't do anything that was just that.
So part of me is okay with that because that would be the point because I felt like Ged was still in his
prideful.
Yes, yeah. His arrogant, haughty kind of.
I'm a great mage kind of thing.
Like he was kind of being just like a teenage boy. I can't think of how to say it nicely.
He was just being arrogant.
Yeah. I don't know. He's just giving that attitude.
Yeah.
And so maybe Jasper really never meant anything by it. And then.
Because
maybe,
he.
Maybe
perceived
Ged
it as that.
Perceived it as, especially if he was perceiving a threat, then maybe he made himself a rival of Jasper's. Didn't need to be. Go ahead. Sorry.
So here's one of the times that it happened. Like when he first meets him, Jasper had a way of smiling faintly as he spoke, which made Ged look for a jeer hidden in his polite words. Do clothes make the mage? He answered sullen. No, said the older boy, though I have heard that manners make the man. Which is very pointed.
Yep. Little needle there.
Yeah. So that's why I like Jasper. I think he was pretty funny. All right. Is there anything else? Any other moment? Anything that you really, really disliked other than the book itself? Something within the book, like a moment or a...
I don't know. There wasn't anything. Again, because half the time I felt like I was either bored or confused.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, in the end, it all kind of made sense. It wasn't, but it was just I got bogged down in the made up words.
Yeah.
And it just was hard for me to get through it. So it wasn't necessarily there was anything that I just absolutely, I didn't despise. I mean, two stars is not my worst rating I've ever given. So no. I didn't despise the book. I just struggled.
Yeah. Yeah. I think between pages 200 and 208, where Vetch and Ged are just on the ocean for a really long time, which I guess makes sense because it turns out they were out there for like 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little boring to me, and I'm like, we could have really trimmed that fat a little bit. But disliked, no. I there were a lot of little vignettes that I did like the old couple on that random sea bar when he washed ashore.
Yeah.
And then it made me feel so sad that they didn't even want to leave because they were so scared of their war, like with the world,
yes.
You know, it treated them when they were a part of it, that they'd rather stay. And then we never really learned what happened to them.
They were old. They died.
Yes.
assumed. You get like a hint that you'll find out in like the next book or a book, a later book. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
good for those people who are going to explore this.
I hope that you read that and tell me what happens.
So one of the things I really didn't like about this book was like the setup for like the magic users, how the only really powerful ones were men.
Yes.
And Le Guin acknowledged that in
her
afterward. But I think she was mostly doing that. She said she was being too conventional and she was doing it because that was how it was at the time that she was writing.
She also mentioned that she is including characters of different races. And
yes.
As the main character not being a white guy who's, you know, typically been seen, like a wizard is typically an old white dude.
Yeah.
I can see her not wanting to push the envelope too much.
Yeah.
See, I had no afterword because my copy was published. Was the original. I mean, this is a very well-worn library copy. I'm pretty sure it was a 1991 edition of it.
Oh.
So there was no afterword. The last, and the what I liked about it is the opening, someone took like the jacket cover in Collection of Element in 1991 and cut it out and put the description, taped it in the front.
That was so kind of them.
Even though it was also on the back in the library binding. Look, the person's probably no longer with us, like in the world. And so,
Oh my goodness.
I'm just saying. So no one can.
The 90s were not that long ago, friend.
Yeah, Andrew.
We're not
born
talking
in 1990.
Exactly. I was a wee lad. And the person who probably processed this was not.
Don't
anyway,
you say you're 29?
I am 29.
So they're just clearly.
They're dead, okay? This is the story we're sticking with.
Okay.
But even, you can even see, like, the old glue on it. Yeah,
it
so there was no
really
afterword in the version.
Dated.
Oh, yeah. Aunt looks like, which version do you want? I'm like, I don't care. So she gives me the moldy one.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I didn't want it.
We can probably just withdraw that after we're done.
I don't know. It's circular. It's, well.
Yeah, they're
Did
popular.
It?
I mean, she said in her afterword, she wrote it in 2012, that it's never been out of print. And
wow.
She wrote it in 1968.
So good for her. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to poo-poo the book. It's just not for me.
Yeah,
I think that's really enough. It. It's just not for me.
Yeah. It is for me, mostly.
I'm okay with you telling me about it. I want to watch the movie of it.
They did make a series on the Sci-Fi Channel, mm-hmm. But they sort of miscast because I think the main character was white.
Whoops-a-doodle.
Yeah.
I think it was also Miyazaki's son created... The Legends of Earthsea, and it was not received well because Miyazaki himself, I don't think, received it well.
Ooh.
Because he was Marcus told me he was a less than kind gentleman about any art that was not his own. So.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dang.
I know. So we're spilling the tea right now on the Gaston Speaks podcast. We're booked
up. We just
up.
Canceled Miyazaki. He's dadooned.
Okay, I vote us that be an official podcast word.
Dadooned. And voted. I like this. Yes.
Okay. What was I saying?
I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Oh, the women in the book. They weren't.
Oh
like
yeah.
It. Yeah.
They really needed to stop.
But I did like the magic system itself. Where it was, I've mentioned this to you when we did our and I like the trope of like names and words having power mm-hmm. within like magic itself. Like I when I finished this book, it reminded me of Because they had, like, the wizards have to learn, or the mages have to learn all these names to have, like, power over them. It reminded me of a short story by Arthur C. Clarke called The 9 Billion Names of God. And it's about this, like, group of monks, and I think Tibet, or maybe somewhere writing out, like, the 9 billion names of God for, like, some purpose. Mm-hmm. And then it, like, they managed to start doing it faster when, like, computers mm-hmm. or, like, computerized things started happening. And they finished the 9 billion names of God. And existence ended.
That's wild.
Yeah. So.
It's really dark on.
It is. But it's a good story.
So speaking of the names having the true power, I appreciated that there was an old language. Was it Hardic?
Yes.
Yes. And I liked the portrayal of the dragons.
Yeah.
I did the like the
ancient
dragons.
Dragon. Like, yeah, that being was wise.
And yeah.
Also, the size of a tower, like, yeah. That is a massive, can you call it a beast if it's sentient? I don't know. But I thought that was really, I really liked the dragon.
This is a total squirrel, but a YA fantasy series that I remember loving in, like, middle school was Patricia Reedy. Yes. And they're
Dealing
hilarious.
With dragons.
They're
good.
Hilarious.
Ooh.
They're
okay.
Good. She's the one who wrote that book I was talking about where, like, knowing the language of, like, magic mm-hmm. makes you more powerful when you speak it kind of thing.
Yes.
Patricia
That
Sheary.
Is a wild concept.
Yeah. But the dragons in there are very thoughtful and funny.
Yeah, they're fun.
And why, you know, they're not really, the humans actually come off kind of dumb,
yeah,
and the wizards come off dumb, and the dragons are, like, the good guys.
Yeah.
It's a real, it's hilarious.
It's a good series.
It's funny. I remember even when I first started here, I saw it, like, on the shelf at one of my branches, and I reread, like, the four, and I still enjoyed them. They were good. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Short
that makes
books.
Me happy.
Short books, too.
Yeah. They're good. They're good. They're YA. They're good. All right. Next question. I'll probably just do one or maybe one or two after this. What did you think of the ending?
I liked the ending.
Yeah. I mean, he got reunited with someone, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I liked that even he got reunited with Ogeon.
Yes.
And then, so those were the two that you kind of felt he had the most connection to.
Yeah.
Those are the characters I liked the most
right.
as well.
Besides little Otek. You know, those were the ones. And so he was able to, because he didn't really seem to have much of a connection even back to, like, his family and the aunt and the father and all that kind of stuff. So those are the two he kind of connected with. So that was nice. The sister was kind of cool. That's just that she was. Is that going to be a love interest?
You can see that they're setting that up to be something.
Mm, yeah.
That is definitely the Ginny Weasley of the story.
So you just when we get to the casting, you're going to be like, I would cast Emma Watson and Daniel Radcliffe.
No. But I'm telling you, there's a stone.
It's really
there
close.
There is the creating of your enemy in the same way that, like, Voldemort named his enemy.
He who must not be named, and name has power. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
There is a wizard. School experience. I'm telling you,
you're right. It really is. It really is close.
The old guy died. Dumbledore dies. The Archmage
That's true.
Dies. Like,
I can't believe J.K. Rowling just stole all this.
She did. I'm not saying. I mean,
to be fair, we recap. In one of our books, we just basically recreated Gilmore Girls. So I don't think we can complain.
So I think having the Harry Potter experience probably helped me with this, even though I'm acknowledging that this is totally the original, and there's a lot of themes that are probably rampant in high fantasy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure high wizarding schools are a thing that are, like, I think Marcus was even saying in the Patrick Rothfuss series that mm-hmm. he read, it was about a wizarding school mm-hmm. and a powerful kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there were scars on his face. Come on.
That came later, and it was his own fault. His own hubris led to him.
That created the dichotomy in the villain and the hero, because it was when Ged summoned the shadow, and the shadow attacked him, and it, like, tore up his face.
Yeah, but the shadow was him in the first place.
Yes, but...
And Harry and Voldemort, like, shared a similar, like...
Harry was Voldemort's Horcrux.
Yeah.
So really, Ged is Tom Riddle.
Hmm.
See.
It's just, Ged, it looks like, is going to be
to
positive.
Yes.
I thought you were saying, I see.
No, I was thinking, like, see, senorita. And I was like, wait, this is,
anyway,
been a long week.
Yeah, Tom Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. It's way too close.
I mean, it is what it is.
And remember the boy who, he's the boy who lived? Mm-hmm. And this guy keeps living, mm-hmm. even though he should die? Mm. Mm.
Okay, what's your next question?
That was perfect. You know, so I was like, mm, y'all both went,
We had your back.
And end. Like, it was just...
Da-doon. So you already answered that one. Would you read the next book? And you said no.
I'm sorry, I would not.
No.
But I am interested in someone else's... I will watch a YouTube video of someone else talking about it.
Cool. Who would you recommend this book to?
Anybody who likes D&D mm-hmm. or World of Warcraft. What's mm-hmm. the one where they paint all the little...
That's D&D.
No, the one that Henry Cavill does where you paint the little characters and there's like 100 of them. You have like a mass of little gray men that you paint and then it's more than it's not just D&D.
I know what you're talking. I can't think of the name though. It has some war in the name. I think Warhammer.
Yes, Warhammer. If you like Warhammer, like this series, anybody who loves high fantasy world building, becoming super engrossed in the lore of a space, this is a great series for you. If you want to be led through it and talked to, like, if you don't want it to be difficult for you,
I was about
don't
say,
read this book.
If you found things like Game of Thrones and some of these others just like daunting,
yeah,
because it's almost too much. This one kind of is like a Reader's Digest condensed fantasy. Because it was a quick read. I mean, I flew through it. It wasn't like I didn't. In terms of it being dry, because it was short and there was so much plot, it didn't mean I didn't fly through it. I just didn't enjoy that much what I was flying through. Yeah.
How about you, Angelique?
Who would I recommend it to? Same people as you, honestly.
Thanks.
Pretty much.
Pat on the back.
I would also recommend it to people. I would also recommend it to people who enjoy like. Like Greek epics, myths, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like who just like literature like that.
Okay.
If they want to like delve into like more standard fictional.
Do you know if Ged is a main character throughout the series or is it just a series set in this world?
I think he's in the series. He's in the series throughout. But I don't know that he's the main character in the next one. I think it's actually a girl in the next one.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe I
will say for teens, if you are a teenager and you're still, your mind's still growing and you want to dive into high fantasy.
Yes.
Because it was written for that level. It is kind of like, and then you can build into some of those like, longer, more graphic,
yeah.
you know.
Honestly,
kinda.
I could see this being read in a school setting
mm-hmm.
as like a way to dissect fiction and discover and like discuss like tropes and plot devices and things like that.
If I had a teacher leading me through this, I think I could have really...
Like the
appreciated.
Iliad.
Appreciated. Except I read the Iliad and then we discussed it and I liked it while I read it. Because there is beauty in the language. This is very cut and dry language.
My sixth grade English teacher, her name's Kathy Waffle. She actually still comes to the library all the time.
What up, Kathy Waffle?
She's awesome. Also one of my favorite teachers of all time. But she recommended this book a lot to her sixth graders.
Oh, yeah, I would recommend it to sixth graders.
And this would have been early 2000s, you know, but I think she was also probably one of the last English teachers that we still diagrammed sentences and did things. And so she was all about breaking things down for you. And that's probably why I liked her so much, because she did help you understand these things. Mm-hmm. So maybe she recommended this as an intro for a lot of people interested in fantasy.
So in the children's, when I was working in the branch, I would get a lot of questions of, my fourth grader is reading at a higher level. What is a book that they can read? There's nothing inappropriate in this book. I feel like younger kids could very easily read this. So it'll be at a higher, you know, it'll be...
Putting that middies, sometimes we send the fourth and fifth graders to the mid, like don't go all the way into the stacks, but go to the middies.
Mm-hmm.
It would be perfect because even some of the JFIC we've put in middies before because it kind of bridges that gap.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There's no sex. The violence is not gratuitous. There's not language. So it really is appropriate. It's appropriate for its audience, which is nice.
Like something like a parent could read to their kid too.
Yeah, and they can discuss it. Like because
I get the feeling sometimes that maybe this is something that should be read out loud.
Okay, in that respect, that's the first time where it's hit me that maybe it is supposed to be like a Greek, like one of those Greek epics.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an audiobook? Does someone ever record an audiobook of it?
I mean, probably. I mean, it's been in print for so long. I would imagine that there would be people who would want...
Depending on the narrator, depending on the voice, depending on the... That might have been a more entertaining version of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur.
I might look up and see and just see what it feels like, you know, yeah. Does it, and just see if that helps me absorb it better.
That's an excellent suggestion.
Because then they're going to give me pronunciations of these words.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's but, not just Kurakamush.
Right. It's not, you know, Enoch-tuk or whatever. I don't know what the, but that would help me. Then maybe I'm not so focused on, I don't know what this word is because someone's already pronounced it for me. You know, yep. I'm going to try that. I'm going to see if that's there.
That's a really awesome suggestion.
That's my follow-up to the, is see if there's an audiobook and maybe that's easier for some of you who are not as into high fantasy.
So at one point, I was kind of falling asleep while I read it.
What? That is shocking.
I know, because I read it. I think I read some of it last Sunday, and the cat was in the room with me. So I started reading it out loud, and he just left. So don't read it to your cat.
Was it Scooter or Magoo?
It was Magoo.
Oh, that's why he's my guy.
he just left. Yeah. All right, last question. Who would you cast in the movie, TV show of this book? Now, we won't go back to what it was.
I don't have an answer for this because yeah. I feel
it's
like
it's kind of hard.
Well, okay, so Vetch is described as like a portly kind of kid who's black, and I cannot think of an actor that fits that kind of description, or even a kid that would be able to be bulked up that is currently that age. Like Kenan Thompson is in his 40s. Like,
yeah.
Like when we were kids, Kenan Thompson would have been perfect.
This would be a good like movie or series for like up and coming actors.
I 1000% agree. So especially since I know that there's a lot more focus and inclusion in the movie world. This would be an excellent breakout series.
And if they want to draw someone in, I think. Maybe not. Maybe he could just be in there somewhere. You know Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things?
Yeah. I love Lucas.
Lucas is such a good character.
I love him. He's
I was
great.
Just thinking
he
about the Stranger
favorite.
Kids.
Yeah.
The Stranger Kids. Sorry, Stranger
Those
Things
strange
kids.
Strange kids.
Who are now like in their 20s. Like, yeah. They're all so much older now. But when they all started, no one knew who they were. And then they were all such good actors, as even as young
kids. I
think
most of brothers should make this miniseries.
That'd be great. Hey, cool
show. So I think most of those kids came from theater.
Yeah.
So you probably just like go to like Broadway, find some kids who
Well, and what they did with that, the same way they did with Harry Potter. So they cast all these kids nobody knew, but then they cast Maggie Smith and Richard Harris. And so in Stranger Things, they cast David Harbour and Winona Ryder and some of these adults that people recognized.
So OGN could be like Ian McKellen or
Idris Elba.
Yeah, I thought of Idris Elba too. Ooh. And Ewan McGregor. So in my
Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Coleman Domingo. I don't know why I just thought of him, but
Coleman Domingo.
Yeah. In my brain, I kept forgetting that Ged was supposed to be 19, and so I would have him in his little pointy hat and his long gray beard. I mean, he'd be like, and he's just a boy, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's 19.
So you're right, but if they embedded those kind of classic actors, then and all of those would be good. By the way, all those recommendations would be amazing. So
it yields legitimacy to the world. It would ground it in such a beautiful way.
When you think about Harry Potter, I mean, the number of award-winning classically trained British actors that just Jim Broadbent, Emily Watson, Emma Thompson, you know, it's just, it is amazing. Alan Rickman, I mean, the amount of talent that they got and then brought in all that new talent, all of whom are still working and doing cool things. I mean, it's just, it's whoever did the casting was on point for that. Yes. So,
oh, I just remembered one tiny thing that kind of bugged me.
Okay.
So towards the end, when Ged is doing all the spells and stuff on his boat, he said that, you know, he was conserving his strength at one point by not doing a lot of the little spells that he would normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that was a little counterintuitive from what we learned from Ogeon, who would like let the rain fall on him while he slept because he was like, you got to think about balance. And just like the vibe I got from Ogeon was don't do a spell just because you can.
Yeah.
Like it's better to he went to go tend his goats. Like,
I mean, well, it's one thing when you're walking across like land and letting yourself get rain out. That's another when you're in the middle of the ocean and you're in a boat that's leaking.
I mean, that's true. But
what
but
was
still,
that? What was that line?
I understand that my life's a metaphorical leaking boat.
They were talking.
Well, you magic together it really well because you just fly and.
There was that line where Vetch's brother, I forgot what his name was. They were talking about boats. I can't find it. Anyways, is there anything else we want to mention about the book?
I'm going to remember in the car later, but that's pretty pretty standard.
I am so tired. I finished it 20 minutes ago, so I probably am not the best.
I'm glad I read it, and I'm glad I'm finished reading it.
There you go. There were some ones. Okay, so we have read some real duds. Okay, some of that James Patterson, that awful Colleen Hoover. This is not ranked anywhere near those at all.
No.
Agree.
It's just because I didn't like it. It's very well written.
It is likable. It's just not likable by you guys.
Yes, right. This is a great example.
And
it
doesn't diminish why Ursula Le Guin is considered one of the greats. Mm-hmm. Her brilliance and her mind to come up with all of this showcases someone who understands. It's kind of like the Octavia Spencer. I didn't necessarily enjoy it all the time. Octavia Butler. Every time I go immediately Octavia Spencer because she's one of my favorite actresses. But anyway, Octavia Butler, the writing style wasn't necessarily for me, but I really respected her as an author at the end of it. And so that's how I feel about Ursula Le Guin. And both of those are science fiction. So I think it's just, that's not my genre, but I respect the people who can make it work.
Well, I'm kind of glad you brought it up because that's one thing I did keep thinking about when I was reading. I was like, this is very simple. It's so dry. It's so simple. Like, yes, it's including all the names and stuff like that. But if you were to take that out, it's very simple sentence structure. It's not hard to follow. And neither was Octavia Butler's Kindred. It was very simple. It was very easy to follow. But hers had the ability to go into the moments a little bit better and flesh them out and make them more real for me.
Oh, yeah. Dana. When Dana was terrified, you were terrified?
Yeah, definitely. And that is
not
an experience. There was no catharsis or cathartic experience with this for me.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sorry. Are we done? Are we ready to close out the episode?
I think Angelique's done because she's like, I don't want to have to edit all this stuff.
Well, you don't have any notes, do you?
No, I already read my notes.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Andrew.
Gotcha. What?
Blaming me. All right. It is almost 53 minutes long, though.
I'm sorry.
All right. To close out the episode, I'm going to promote the library website. GastonLibrary.org is our main website where you can access all of our digital resources, our catalog, and our calendar of events. You'll also find our social media links on our contact page. So check out GastonLibrary.org for all your Gaston Library needs. That's it for this episode of We're Booked Up. A Wizard of Earthsea is available both in the library and online at the NC Digital Library, the Libby app, and Hoopla. Let us know what you think of the book and what we think of the book. Just leave a comment at the off-the-shelf blog at gastonlibrary.blogspot.com or at gastonspeaks.podbean.com. Next month will be the 3rd annual VOTUS Awards. Yeah. Thanks for listening.